Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Omadhai podcast. Today, we are hosting Banderi Karemi, an IP lawyer. We'll be talking about exploitation in the creative sector. Karibu, Karemi.
Asante.
How are you doing?
I'm very good. The sun is out.
Yes.
The sun is out.
And you look sunny as well.
Thank you.
Really cool. And thank you so much for coming to the show and to talk about this, really, really important topic. Tell me about your experience. And I know you're also a musician as well. So tell me about your experience in the space as far as this particular issue is concerned.
Well, I am a musician who studied law. That's how I introduce myself. And okay. I do that very deliberately.
Yeah.
Because most of the time someone says, I am a musician. No, I am an accountant. But I also play guitar. But I do it the other way around because I am a musician first. And even when I was deciding to go into IP, yeah. It was really about getting to have people like me make money out of what it is that they do. And for me, I would say like the first exploitation that occurs for a musician is because we all start in church. For me, my first experience of it was we are playing for the Lord.
And you remember that was a very sore topic on Twitter a few months back.
Yeah, and for me my argument has always been, you play the church lawyer, pay the pastor, you will pay the person who makes the tea, you'll pay the guy who's guarding the gate, opening the gate, but you will not pay the musician.
Yeah,
and the argument for that is that it is a talent from the Lord that you should share.
Yeah.
Our skills and as a lawyer, you go to school, you get qualified, but we go to school. I went to school for music and I qualified. I'm a grade 8 guitarist and I qualified for what it is I do. And I taught for a long time, but then why shouldn't I get paid when I play?
Yeah.
And I think normalizing that kind of exploitation is part of the reason why I think it gets difficult for people even to value that which they do. Because a lot of musicians' opportunity to first get to play together, to play for an audience every Sunday or whatever it is you meet up, is always in church. But for that experience, rarely do you find people getting paid. I mean, there are churches that do pay, but even then it was almost taboo to even discuss that. So I think that was my first experience and I feel strongly about it.
and it sucks that it still happens till today.
Well, for sure. I remember having a conversation once and I said, if you're going to pay the engineer, lawyer, accountant, then we must pay the musicians. Yeah. I was looked at, and that was the last meeting I had.
with that particular space.
Yeah. So it is one of those things that creates sort of animosity.
Yeah.
Even between those who get paid and those who don't. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things about being in this space, of course, I will draw from my experience as a lawyer, for example. We all qualify, then there are lawyers who go to KSL and they become advocates, and then there are lawyers who have 5 years experience, 10 years experience, 15 years experience, and all that sort of determines how much you can charge for fees, for example. For the advocates, we have a remuneration order that determines what you're going to get paid minimum. But then anyone can pay you more than that, above that. And even in this discussion, as we are thinking about it, that doesn't exist in our creative industry. You determine what your price is, but there is no minimum. There's no minimum.
True.
There's no minimum. So you will have a situation where people make a habit of bidding down the creative.
So they always start from the bottom. Actually, from nothing. Some people tell you, I don't have a budget. Yeah,
and you know, seeing a budget is a true space. It's true that a lot of times budgets don't exist for creative industry sort of things.
This is true.
But even if you're not doing budget, you can say, I know it's going to cost you to come from this place to this place, and this is what I have.
And I think
what I find particularly, I don't know whether to use the word dishonest, but I think it's uncomfortable when, for example, when budget is not an issue, and somebody will make phone calls and say we'll go with the cheapest person, and because people are hungry for work, they will take whatever it is that they get, because you'd rather have the little money than no money. But then you end up in a lowest bidder race.
Yeah, because it will never be more. It will always be this artist can't accept 20K, and even if they have 500K, you never get that money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And this are the conversations I think that we need to open.
Yeah.
Especially with companies that do have a moral code, like a code of conduct, where they're dealing with suppliers, that the first point of call as a corporate, for example, or a multinational or whatever, or INGO or NGO, and even us as small companies growing, you say, yes, I don't have the budget, but I am going to start by saying, I want to pay you. I want to pay you. I know your budget or your bottom line might be more than what I can afford, but what is your bottom line? What is the amount I'm supposed to pay you? Then if the person tells you my price is $500, then I say, okay, I don't have $500, but can I pay you this amount of money, but slowly?
Yeah.
And you see, the thing is, I will feel respected as a creative that you said to me, I don't have the budget. I will want to do the work with you, because of course people do want to work.
Yeah.
And I've not always had the budget, but what I've felt from the creatives who support the businesses and the projects that I do, when I'm honest about not having budget or whatever is going on financially, then some guys just tell you, I'm coming on board whether you have the money or not.
Yeah.
This is my price, but I'll come on board and do the work. But then when I do get the work, the first person I will think about, and if I owe you, I will say I owe you this amount of money and I will pay you when I can. Mm. But then we now create bodies of work, but then also create a mutual respect for each other's businesses, so that I don't take you for granted and you feel honored by the business that I am doing.
What we've mostly talked about financial expectation, and a lot of creatives have spoken about that. In the music industry, for instance, there's been a lot of terrible things happening in terms of work being stolen, etc. Mm. What can you speak to what has been happening, and also things we could do, policies or regulations? Or what you were talking about, like bare minimum prices for musicians, for instance. What can you suggest as a way forward as far as some of these problems are concerned?
I think part of the reason why we have conflicts in the world is people change their minds. But also fundamentally, I think human beings are either good or bad.
Yeah.
And when I would teach my contract class, I would say a contract is only as good as the person who is signing it. And a contract sometimes is not necessarily written. It could be a verbal contract. And so we agree, we are going to come and record this podcast. Mm. You call me and I say, yes, I will do it. And you come and it's time for the recording and I don't show up.
Yeah.
But we had an agreement. So I think, first of all, as human beings or as creatives, we need to get to the place where if a person doesn't honor the way that that you agreed you should work, then don't work with them. You should make it a habit to blacklist people who don't own our contracts. Mm. And for that reason, you know, when you blacklist these people, then they will be unable to get people to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
But here we, and what I have seen is people are like, oh, you know, maybe he was going through something. You know, we excuse bad behavior.
And even they tell you certain things. Yes. That I wasn't picking your call because, I don't know, my dog was sick or something like that.
Dog ate your homework.
Yeah.
But Kiari is looking at their Instagram and they are flying first class. But they can't pay you your 20K.
You know, yeah. So it's usually a very difficult situation.
It really is.
I feel like we... as you know, as creatives, we are practically the same. You're speaking, you know, as from the music industry,
yeah.
But I can tell you from the digital publishing, mm-hmm. influencer market, it's same.
It's the same, you know. You, and I think it is important to, you know, sort of have that standard also as from a personal point of view, but also I think there is need. For and I'm looking at it both sides.
Yeah.
That if both sides are honest with each other, you know, corporates can say, yes, we don't have the budget, or we do have the budget, but we have the budget for something else. Or we could, if we can't afford you, we can't afford you.
Mm.
But I think that, and I know it's capitalism, and this is how capitalism works.
Mm.
You know, try and get the best out of the least amount of money,
yeah.
that you're working with. But for an industry to grow in whichever way, there must be an investment. And I think the organizations, the people who determine for themselves that they will be part of the movement forward, will create, you know, that environment. But you can't do it by yourself. That's a thing. You see, like for the position that I hold, I am determining for the organization that we need to, you know, respect what people do. Do I have the budget all the time? No, I do not. But then in 5-10 years, when we've grown to the place that we need to be, when we have the money to do what it is we need to do, then the practices that we have done when we didn't have the money will be what will become standard. And then so 20, 30, 40 years down the line, we'll have created that standard that we're talking about that exists in other professions.
And what do you feel brands can do better as far as this particular thing is concerned, making sure that artists, musicians are compensated well?
I think one of the things I have noticed, and I get this question a lot, for example, even say advertising companies, for example.
Yeah.
You're going to go do a pitch and then have a conversation with this big multinational, and they will get pitches from everybody, but they will not pay for pitches, for example. And that's a practice that was there before and then stopped being there.
Mm.
Because even in IP, you do not own the pitch because you are being directed by the company.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to own what it is you create,
mm.
and you are not creating it for yourself, you are creating it for the corporate.
Yeah.
Why then not pay for pitches?
Yeah.
Why not?
True.
Because you need to create an environment that pays every part of the process, that creates the thing that's going to make people want to come to you.
Mm.
And I think that's part of corporate social responsibility, like being responsible in the way you treat the suppliers of your business, the customers of your business, the employees of your
business.
Basically
all stakeholders,
yeah. Completely.
Yeah.
And the creative space, because it's all of it. It's fashion, it's photography, it's music. Music gets most of the noise, but I think doesn't represent where most of the money is. I think most of the money is in a lot of the other spaces that we never think about.
Mm.
And it doesn't mean that it doesn't have potential to grow. I'm just saying when we think of us, the creative space as a movement and as an entire industry, you know how when you go to the to whatever factory. There's the packer, there's the guys who, so whoever, like if we looked at
the whole production,
line, like a whole value chain.
Yeah.
So if we looked at that, I think the corporate looking at the value chain in that manner would then be able to inject the money that is needed to propel it forward.
Yeah.
Because currently all creatives, I think I'll say all creatives, are self-funding their businesses. Mm-hmm. And for them to have sustainable business, they need sustainable work coming in, but also ways in which to exercise that creativity with other people's money.
Yeah.
Because you see, for example, like the ad agency, when I was saying that, when you pay someone for a pitch and I tell you, I want to do this, VR experience, but you want me to pay for the VR something.
Yeah.
And it's not cheap.
True.
It's not cheap. But then imagine how much better your experiences as a corporate would be if you then fund that
in property.
And then imagine then what else comes out of being able to do this wonderful things for your corporates when you do your personal projects, because of course those are done with passion. How much better would that look?
No, that's interesting. What do you think are legal protections either existing, you know, or should come in the future that would make this space, not only the music space, but the creative space, better for practicing creatives?
I think legal protection, again, is legislative frameworks do exist. So you do have your trademark acts, you have your copyright act, you have all the things that can protect whatever it is that you're doing. What I think is really important, and on both sides, is for people to educate themselves on what those protections are. Often I get questions, or you know, someone will be like, can I send you an email? This is what I'm going through. Can you help me? And I say, first of all, do you even understand what IP assets you hold?
Yeah.
Do you understand whether it is an IP asset that you hold, or is it that your client holds it? So paint this scenario. Imagine you are told by this corporate to do this job. They directed you. Therefore, it's a commissioned work. It's not your work. It is the work of the corporate that commissioned you, because immediately you're commissioned, then it's not directly your work, but then you're getting compensated for it. So hopefully, you're getting compensated for it, and hopefully your payment doesn't take 7 years to come to you.
Yeah.
But you then are not creating disputes where there are none. But if somebody understood how IP works, at least in that sense, for example, in copyright or whatever it is, you then reduce the sort of conflict areas that you have. The other thing I think is familiarizing yourself with the different dispute mechanisms that are possible. I tell people going to court is a total waste of time. And people will threaten to sue, and what is the purpose? You want to get paid. Therefore, you do then have the best way of dealing with it is an alternative dispute resolution mechanism.
Yeah.
So whether you're going to mediate or to arbitrate, and quickly finish the matter so that you can move on to being